Well, I want to start today's sermon by just reading a short piece written by Ruth Harms Culkin. It's entitled, I Wonder. You know, Lord, how I serve you with great emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how eagerly I speak for you at a women's club. You know my genuine enthusiasm at a Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed me to a basin of water and asked me to wash the callous feet of a bent and wrinkled old woman, day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw and nobody knew? I wonder how would I react to that? How would you react to that kind of calling on your life? To love, to serve, to give, just because that's God's heart. No one else watching. But the Lord is. I wonder. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, continues to call us to live upside down and to live counterculturally. He continues to draw us to God's heart. That's what's jumping out at us as we look at Jesus' sermon. It's a call back to God's heart. It's a call back to his way of thinking. It's a call back to the way God established everything to be. And this morning, we will be studying Jesus' instructions on giving. As Jesus returns us to the heart of giving. That's the title. Today's message, the heart of giving. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. We started in September and we've made it through chapter 5, the first chapter. Has it been worth taking this slower pace through Scripture? I don't know about you, but I'm getting a lot out of it every week. A lot out of it. God is just, He's drawn me to Him. It's good. It's rich. God's Word is so good. So we're in chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Let's go to God's Word. The words of Jesus. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, that's your Father in heaven, your Abba, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So in his call to return to the heart of giving, Jesus is directing us to embrace what I'm seeing here are three important and impactful principles. Now, if you're here for the first time this morning, you've hit the jackpot. You've actually come to church this morning when the church is talking about giving, talking about money, talking about finances, and talking about the T word, tithing. Woo! If you brought a guest, you're like, wow, I couldn't have picked a better Sunday. But this is God's stuff, man. This is His Word. And as He's drawing us to His heart in all of these other areas of our lives, all these other facets of our lives, He's drawing us back to God's heart in the area of finances, in the area of giving, in this extremely important area. God's Word speaks of money all over the place because it is a weapon used by the enemy for evil and to just thwart the plans of God and to chain up the people of God and to keep us from who God's called us to be. Yet, as we embrace God's way and God's perspective about money, whoo, it releases blessing, as we're going to see, all over our lives and the lives of those that we're doing life with. So we're going to study God's Word and see what He has to say about this. Three important and impactful principles that I believe God has for us. I want to tell you, when I was launching into the study for this morning's message, tithing wasn't even on the radar screen. But about 30 minutes into study, that's all the Lord was saying to me. Talk about this, Eric. I don't want to. Just being real with you. I'd really prefer just to go on about righteous acts of goodness and all of that. Kind of stuff we've been doing, Lord, you know, giving, helping. He's like, tithing. It's going to be good. That's what I'm saying. The Lord has some exciting things, I believe, to just unfold here in our church family. You ready for this? Three principles. Principle number one, giving is good. I don't usually do this, but we're going to say this together. Ready? Giving is good. One more time. Principle number one, giving is good. Notice this. Jesus says, when you give. He doesn't say, hey, and if you give, or when you get around to it. No, he just says, when you give, give this way. So using our resources, including our finances to help others, is not optional. It's not just something that we get around to every once in a while. It's not optional in the sight of the Lord. Rather, it's just what we do as people of God. It's just what we do. It's like breathing. If you stop breathing, you stop living. If you aren't giving, you aren't living. Think of it that way. That's how God sees it. When you give, those who have God's heart, who are new creations in Christ, begin to get a compulsion, a desire, a need deep within them to start releasing things, releasing love, releasing resources, and releasing finances and giving to others. As we begin to get God's heart and our heart begins to be softened and transformed, these kinds of fruits of the Holy Spirit begin to well up inside of us and just jump out of us. And so as we continue to grow as followers of Christ and those loved by our Heavenly Father, and we grow into our new identity, we start to breathe God's way. And one of the way God breathes is He gives. He gives. I think of giving and God, and is it His character? Is it who He is? I mean, think of, for God so loved the world that He did what? He gave. I mean, it could have gone, for God so loved the world that He did a bunch of things, and He made flowers all different kinds of colors. Now, He did all of that, and it's awesome. He could have said, for God so loved the world that He created more angels and all of this kind of stuff so that people could be more blessed and all of that. But no, Scripture says, and this is like the cornerstone of our faith. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. It's the heart of God. It's the DNA of our Creator. And as we come to Christ and we exchange our old fleshly DNA for the DNA of the Spirit of God, and we get His DNA, our DNA changes, and we start to be these people that we just give, like God. We so love that we can't help but give. Giving is good. And it's what's on God's heart. It's His DNA. Therefore, it's becoming our DNA. And so we give. But to whom? Scripture tells us, Jesus says, to those who have need, right? We give to those who have need. We're called to help meet the real needs of real people. And so we give our time to those who have need. We give our money. We give our food and our clothing. We give a helping hand. We give a place to stay. We give shelter from the heat and from the cold and from the rain. We give to those who have need. We give to those who have need because this is the heart of God. And it's good to give. I said it earlier. I'm blown away and so blessed by how this church family is stepping out in new ways and giving, and it's not coming from a place of compulsion. It's not coming from a place of duty. It's coming out of hearts that are completely being transformed by the heart of God. It's coming out of that place of the inner man. We just want to give. We love. And so we give. Because our Heavenly Father loves. And He gives. Another clear call to give is the biblical command to participate in tithes and offerings. There's so many different ways we give. But tithing is giving. And it reflects a grateful and obedient heart that wants to give back to God a portion what He has given to us. What's really already His. Tithing and giving go together. They're biblical. It's all over the Word of God. This form of giving called tithing actually existed before the law. I mean, if you look back, go back to Genesis. In the beginning, we talked about it. We had scripture read and we sang into that this morning about in the beginning. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, they brought their tithes, their offerings, their first fruits to the Lord. Those sacrifices to Him, to give back to Him, the one who gave them life and everything else. And so they tithe. And so you look at the tithe, and you look at these offerings, and you look at giving to God the way that God's called us to give and to return to Him in that way. And that's just what He created in the beginning. That's just part of the structure of the relationship between man and God and man. Tithing is part of it. Giving is part of it. But let's recognize this. Who was the first to give? God. And how much did He give? He gave it all. He created it all. And He gave it all. And He keeps giving it all. So let's make sure we understand that perspective. And I'm believing here this morning as we're talking through this, as we're looking at scriptures, we're looking at God's heart for giving, and specifically even in the area of tithing, that we don't go down those crazy rabbit trails. We don't go, you know, all of these places where the enemy wants to distract us and get us into thinking about, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Let's stay with the heart of God. Let's stay with the reality that God so loved us that He gave. He gave. He gave. Let's stick with His heart on this. You know, tithing, as I'm studying it this week, I saw that tithing is actually one of the forms, one of the tools that God gave us to relate to Him from the beginning. Tithing. It's one of the ways that we have relationship with God. I want to talk about that in a little bit, a little more here. So tithing is our acknowledgement that all we have and all we're able to achieve comes directly from the hand of God. Read a little more about that in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. If you want to write that down, read it later. Tithing is our act of faith, indicating that God has been good to me today. And I trust Him that He will be good to me tomorrow. Amen. That it's not in my hands. It's not up to me. That He's the one who's provided for me. He's the one who is providing for me. And He is the one who will continue to provide for me. He is my provision. He is my provider. He is all I need and He has all I need. And I trust that. I don't have to take it into my own hands and stockpile. It's not up to me. My future is not my own, but it's His. It's in His hands. And tithing helps us remember that. It helps us stay in touch with that reality, and it keeps us from becoming our own gods, our own providers, our own masters. Tithing is also a way we open the door of our finances to give and to receive His blessing. And so when we give the first 10%, that first tenth, that tithe, that's what tithe stands for, that first 10% of our earnings back to the Lord. We return to Him what was His in the first place. And it says that, hey, you're still my first priority, God. So again, the tithe, that first 10% of what He's blessed us with, the first 10%, not the leftovers. Here's some good news. Everyone can participate in this kind of giving. Everyone. Because here's the cool thing. God didn't say, look, the tithe is $1,000 a week. Take it or leave it. You better have it. Show up. Otherwise, I'm cutting you off. It's all over. You know, God didn't set it up that way. He set it up so all of us could participate in this relationship with Him, in this way of relating to Him. He set it up as a first fruits thing, the first of what He's given to us. So He knows that we have it. He knows that we have it because He loved us and He gave it to us to use for His glory. Part of that's for our own sustenance and our own enjoyment even, which is just God's goodness, more so. But He set it up this way so that everybody could participate in this form of relating with Him, of this form of trusting Him, of this way of walking out our faith with Him. The tithe is set up so we can all do it. It's not a set dollar amount. Rather, it's just a small portion of the blessing that has been given to us by our Lord to steward. And as we're seeing in God's Word, it's not how much we give, but it's how we give and why we give. I just want to jump ahead here for a moment. I want to share a little bit about myself as it relates to this. So you don't hear this pastor up here just teaching a message about how everybody should do this and this is right and I've always had it all together and always been perfect in all of these things, because that's not the case. I'm just a person. I'm just a person, and I struggled in this area of my life big time. I used to struggle big time in this area. It was hard for me to let go of anything. And when I was struggling in this area, I was making really good money. I was in technology business back in the late 90s. It was booming, and it was good to me. Then I was in the real estate business in the early 2000s. It was booming. It was good to me. Yet here I am, being so cared for, being given so much, and I am struggling with letting it go. Now, did I tithe? I did tithe. Very reluctantly, very stingily, because I had to. It was a duty. I'm a Christian, and I better tithe, because what if somebody asks me, do you tithe? I don't want to have to lie to them that I don't, so I will do it, but I'm only going to do the bare minimum. I'm not going to give on my gross income. Are you crazy? I'm going to give on my net income. So I came up with all different kinds of things. And this is how I lived. But let me tell you what the result of that kind of living was. Money had me. I mean, it had me in chains. It owned me. The spirit of mammon was controlling my life. I would sit up at night instead of cuddling with my wife and kissing her goodnight. She'd be going to sleep, I'd have the light on next to the bed, and I'd have a financial calculator in my hand, and I'd be calculating, how am I going to keep this train rolling? How am I going to keep this going? How am I going to make sure that I have enough for tomorrow and I have enough for retirement? And so I'm doing all the formulas. How many more deals do I have to close? How much harder do I have to work? Money was owning me, man. Do you think I had peace in my life at that time? Oh, I didn't even have sleep. Staying up, worrying about this. Yet I had plenty. It was owning me. It was owning me. I was falling for the enemy's tricks. I was thinking it was up to me. And I was missing God's heart and God's way of interacting with Him and enjoying peace with Him. But when I submitted to God's ways and joyfully began to give, and joyfully began to give in this area of the tithe, that spirit of mammon, those chains literally broke off of me immediately. I mean, we're talking immediate freedom in this area. You want to know the funny thing about this? just coming to me right now. After I did that, I got freedom in that area, got peace in that area, and then the Lord called me into ministry and cut my income. Woo! But let me tell you this. He's provided all of my needs, and I have complete peace as it relates to my finances. Complete peace and complete provision. All I need and then more, because God loves me and He's good. Giving is good. It has given me peace. Coming into agreement with God's perspective on money and how to relate to Him and how to relate to money and who's God and who's not and who's provider and who's not is good. It brings peace. And that's how much God loves us, that He wants us not to be owned by anything. He doesn't want us to be a slave to anyone or anything. And so He gives us an opportunity to walk in freedom in the area of finances. And He says, give. Tithe. Take care of those who have need. And you won't be wrapped up in those chains. God's good. And giving is good. Let's go to principle number two. God rewards those who give. God rewards those who give. Back to Matthew 6, verse 4. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret. He's talking about giving. Your Father, that's God, who sees your giving that's done in secret, will do what? Will reward you. That's the Word of God. These are the words of Jesus. This isn't just some faith preacher, you know, trying to say, hey, give a bunch of money, man, because it's going to be good and you're going to get a Corvette out of it or something like that. Some crazy, ignorant stuff like that. These are the words of Jesus that's saying, when you come into agreement with God's heart about giving, when you are so overcome by love and walking in such faith and trust in Him that you're just going to say yes to God's way of dealing with money and finances, saying what's happening is you're releasing the opportunity for your Heavenly Father to reward you. Giving is directly tied to another biblical precept called that principle of sowing and reaping. Let's look at Galatians 6, beginning in verse 6. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, anyone who receives instructions in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. Now, I just wanted to start there just because, anyway, I'm an instructor. But we can go right now to verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Okay, so this is pretty significant, right? God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, remember, God has His own timing. He has His own ways. He's going to do it His way and in His time. Don't judge God because it's not happening on your calendar. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Galatians 6. So, it's a biblical precept of sowing and reaping. This is one example of it. It's all over Scripture. And there are blessings. There is, as Paul said in this passage, there is a harvest. A harvest. Think of Thanksgiving. Just that table full of food. There are blessings. There's a harvest. More than you could imagine. More than you need. For those who give. A reward. And in relation to giving, why is our tithe so important to God? Because He wants to bless us. And He wants to use us to be a blessing to others. I want to read a short story, really an analogy, that a pastor named Robert Morris from Gateway Church in Texas wrote in his book called The Blessed Life. This is a great book, by the way. If you want to read a book about giving, this is probably one of my top three that I would recommend, this book right here, The Blessed Life. Very biblical, very balanced healthy book on giving and on our finances. He says this on page 63. Consider this illustration. I have to go on an extended journey, and I choose three men for a special responsibility. I say to those three men, I'm going to send you each $10,000 every month. You may keep $9,000 of the money and spend it as you please. But I want you to give $1,000 each month to my wife for the meeting of her needs. Seems reasonable. Seems extravagant, actually. As promised, I send each of these men $10,000 monthly. After a few weeks, I call my wife and ask her if she's receiving the support I had arranged. Her reply is, well, the first one is sending me $1,000 each month, just as you instructed him. The second one is actually sending me $2,000 a month. I don't know why, but he is. The third one sent $800 the first month, $300 the second month, and nothing the third month. Now, as a husband who loves his wife with all his heart, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm the one providing the money to these men. I've told them they can keep $9,000 for themselves. All I wanted them to do was give a mere 10% so that there could be food in my house. Malachi 3:10, which we're about to go to. He continues, well, with the first man who was being faithful to follow my instruction, I'm going to continue sending him that $10,000. But for the third man, the one who wasn't satisfied with the 90% I graciously gave him, I'm going to quit sending him $10,000 a month and send it to the most generous man instead. Why? Because I can trust the second man. He's demonstrated that he cares about what I care about. He's a good steward. What the third man was doing was the same as stealing from me. Remember the verse, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. That's Malachi 3:8. Now let me bring this illustration, he says, home. Jesus has gone away for a season of time. He has said to each of us, I want you to take care of my bride, meaning the church, while I'm away. By giving 10% to my house, you can spend the remaining 90% as you desire. And he goes on speaking about this. I kind of want to transition into that part of the talk. It looks like I need to speed things up a little bit, but let's go to that passage in Malachi 3 that Pastor Morris brought up. And let's continue to read and understand this direct correlation between giving and blessing and tithing. Malachi 3, verse 10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. What was the storehouse? It's referring to the storehouse of the local temple where the people would go and worship the Lord. It was the place where the ministry would take place inside and then going out of that place. So basically in today's terms, it's the local church, the place where you would go and worship the Lord. Bring the full tithe, that's the 10%, into the storehouse that there may be food or provision, the resources needed to do the work. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord. How many times do you see that in God's word? Put me to the test. He's saying, try this out. I want you to try this. I mean, God's pretty confident that he's going to come through. That's what he's saying. Put me to the test on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So this is the word of God. This is the truth of God. This is how God operates. These are promises from the Lord. Is God a liar? Does he change? Does he mess with us and change the game on us? And no, he doesn't. See how he wants to pour out blessing on us? So what I want to do is just make sure we never mess around and try to pretend that tithing is insignificant. Because it's very significant to God. Test me on this, he says. Now, I can get very passionate about this topic because of where I've been and where I am today. Because I've been in that place where I've been a slave to that spirit of mammon. And so things with money now I'm pretty passionate about, and I can come across maybe a little excited about all of this stuff. But I want to make sure that you understand that the Lord does not want to bring condemnation on anybody. That's not the purpose of God's word. That's not what he's wanting to do. Now, he may bring conviction in our lives, like I began to be convicted in this area those many years ago. And conviction is good. Condemnation is not from the Lord. Conviction is there so that we can start changing our mind and coming into alignment with God's way of thinking and enjoy the blessings and the peace and the joy that God has for us. Condemnation is not from God. So I want to make sure that none of us feel any kind of condemnation, because that is not the purpose that God has for us today. He wants us to experience blessing. That's why he's giving us this word today. You know, as I looked at this, at tithing, I see that tithing, just like praying, just like worshiping, just like fasting, just like obedience, greatly impacts what we experience in our relationship with God. You know that praying is important. And you know that if you withhold prayer and you pull yourself back from God in this area of your life, that there is going to be repercussions. There's going to be changes. You know that when you press into God and you spend time with him, that's when you hear his voice. That's when you feel his peace. That's when you get his direction. When you pull away from that, you know there are blessings in worship. I've told you, you know that it's in times of worship for me that I find myself coming face to face with the amazing love of God, and I find myself on my face in tears because I just come into his presence in such an amazing way, because he truly does inhabit the praises, the worship of his people. It's no joke. When we embrace God's ways, we get to experience the fullness and the blessing of God in all of its splendor, in all of its glory, in all of its ways of manifesting in our lives. And when we come into agreement in this area of tithing, just like worshiping, just like praying, just like fasting, just like any area of obedience, we will get to experience God in deeper, real, amazing, blessed ways. And so I want to share this with this kind of passion because I've experienced it. I've experienced the other side and it stinks. And I've experienced the side of God's way and it's good. And it's real. And it's no joke. And God is not a liar. And he's not playing games with you. And he's not after your money. He's after your heart. And he's after you to bless you, to show you love, to just come all over you, to let you know that you are special and that you're cared for, to let you know it's not up to you, it's not up to what you can make happen tomorrow. It's up to you resting in him, enjoying him, trusting him, and he will come through. He will come through. He's good. When we do things God's way in giving, God is saying he will pour down blessings in this life and in the life to come. All of this is between you and God. Let me jump to Deuteronomy 15:10. Another correlation, giving and blessing. Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this generous giving, this correlation, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. I need that. I need that. The tithe is given from our increase and for our increase. I'm convinced that one of the reasons this church has been so blessed financially. I mean, look at this. We have this amazing facility in this amazing location. We have these chairs. We have all of this comfort. We're just so extremely financially blessed as a church family. It blows my mind what's going on here. But I'm convinced that it's no accident. I'm convinced that it's because of this exact principle that blessing follows giving. That what you sow, you will reap. If you haven't been here a while, you might not know of all that we've sown over in Africa, into the church over in Africa. Before we had a building to meet in, and we were just renting a room in the library, we gave money to build a building over in Africa so that a new church plant over there would have a place to meet. We didn't have a building yet. Before we had these nice, comfortable chairs that we're sitting in today, we gave finances so that they would have chairs in the church and desks in the school, and we didn't have any of this. We were still meeting in the library. We didn't have chairs yet. Before we had playground equipment, we gave playground equipment to the church and to the school over in Africa. I mean, you look at the direct correlations of everything. We give and we receive. We just give. And God blesses. It's not us. It's not because we're smart and we're able to somehow figure out money better and wiser and work it all together and negotiate these deals. And man, look what we did. That's not it. This is God. This is the blessing of God that I am convinced has come out of the giving of His people whose hearts have been transformed by love. That's it. And that's the tithe. The tithe isn't a compulsion. The tithe isn't a duty. The tithe is giving out of a heart that just loves God and loves people and trusting Him for today and for tomorrow. And God is good, and He blesses those who give. Principle number three, and we'll be concluding. The way we give matters. Giving is good. God rewards giving. But the way we give matters. As we've been studying Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we continue to see that Jesus is bringing us back to God's heart. In this passage, He's highlighting the heart of giving. So what's God's heart on giving? How are we supposed to give? In what manner? Jesus clearly states in this passage that if we give to get, if we give to impress other people, that we miss the heart of God. But if we give out of love, if we give out of love, we hit the mark. The way we give matters. God's heart in giving involves humility. God's heart in giving is others focused. Yes, there's the sowing and reaping. There is blessing that comes out of giving, but if you give to get, you miss it. But if you give to give, if you give to love, you get it. God's heart in giving involves an eternal perspective too. Because you see, many of the blessings that the Lord speaks to and speaks of in His Word aren't even things that we're going to experience in this life, although there are blessings that we will experience in this life as a result of giving. There is that provision. But so many of the blessings are those heavenly, eternal blessings that all we can do on those is just imagine. What are they going to be? Come on. Is God not a good God? Is He not a good Father? Is He not a generous giver? The way we give matters. Why are we doing it? Whose applause are we seeking? Are we looking to impress people? No. Who's our audience? Man or God? God's our audience. Our audience of one. But let me clarify this very quickly. That this is not saying that we're supposed to completely avoid any kind of external righteous acts or blessings of other people. We're to be the salt and light in our world. And when you're the salt and light, giving is going to be part of that. And you're going to be the salt and light in the world. And people are going to see the heart of God, the generosity of God being lived out in us and through us. And they're going to be firsthand even recipients of it. So it's not saying don't do any good in public. That would be missing the mark also. Sometimes we like to really distill God's word down to some really narrow formula, because it's just maybe easier to manage. But we can't do that. Let's get the full heart of God. It's all about the heart. So make sure our hearts are right and then just go extravagantly give and love on people from a right heart. And that's what we're doing here. That's what I'm seeing my brothers and sisters in this church family doing. And it's humbling. And it's encouraging. We know that God's heart of giving has changed the world. Has it changed your life? He loved you so much that He gave His Son. Has God's heart of giving changed the world? Has it changed you? What happens when His church, Jesus said, you're going to do these things and even greater things. What was one of the things that Jesus did? He gave. The biggest thing He did, He gave. You're going to be doing these things and even greater things. It's not just going to be me giving my life now and serving others and washing, you know, people's feet and being the servant of all. It's going to be the whole body of Christ now. All of you are going to do it. Exponential blessings and giving. It's going to be amazing. You're going to do these things. You're going to give like I gave, but even greater. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to change the world. So if we grab hold of this and continue, and I'm just saying continue because this church family is already living this way. I'm preaching to the choir here. Sometimes the choir's got to hear the message too. So I got to hear it every week too, all right? So I'm preaching to the choir here because we're a family of givers. But do you believe that as we continue to embrace God's heart and we continue to give, can we see transformation happen in our town? I mean, God so loved that He gave and the world has been forever changed. Evident Life so loved that they gave. Can Gilbert, can the East Valley be changed as a result? Yes. And it's being changed. And we're going to see more and more of it. It matters. It makes a difference. We're going to see immediate impact. And then we're going to get to see eternal impact. And I want to play this song and just allow you to just meditate on this. You can close your eyes and just listen to these words. I will let you know that this song, probably every other time I hear it, I actually cry and weep because this is the desire of my heart. I want to be a giver. I want it to matter in this life and in the life to come.
Dreamed I went to heaven, you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I have a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to Lord, I am so glad you came. One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made. I noticed on the earth, in heaven, now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
I am so